can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
Oh, man. I'm kind of tired. It's been a hectic week in all the weirdest ways possible. But I'm not too bad. Just feel like I'm ready for this week to be over, so that way I can feel like I'm back on track eventually. I just feel wonky this week since I didn't go to work for a couple days or whatnot. I took PTO for a weird stomach and then appointments one day. And so I just feel thrown off. And that's kind of just the extent of this week. How about you?
I mean, you know as well as I do that I had several. I didn't count them, panic attacks last night, because when you're in the throes of panic attacks, you're not worried about counting. So I had one during the filming of our other podcast, and then I just kept having them all night. Like, it would taper off, and then it would just spike back up and taper off and spike back up and taper off and spike back up. It never got all the way gone, but I would be falling asleep and then just like wake up in the full blown panic attack. So I'm tired today because my body has been through it. Otherwise, just busy. It's been busy. We've been socially fucking busy lately. And so, like, tonight after this, we have a dinner with a friend, which I'm excited about. I am excited to go have this dinner. But, like, we've got that. Then we've got a movie tomorrow night with a friend, which is also going to be great. And then we got friends coming over on Saturday, which is also going to be fine. Then I got friends coming over on Sunday, and I feel like trying to meet all of my social obligations is dragging me through the mud.
Yeah.
So I'm in this place where I recognize for the longest time I was sort of hidey-holed myself in the house, and now we're trying to remedy that. But I'm also still an introvert. Like, I need to just set some shit down for a while.
I feel like the past few weeks I've just been go, 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 go constantly. It's been exhausting. And then the past week at least, actually, I'd say the past week and a half right now, I've toned it down. I've kind of calmed things down. And it's been nice to just not quite have as much on my mind to do. But what I have noticed is that all my friends have been in the same boat of go, go, go. So my social life hasn't been as existent as it used to be, which is fine. I mean, I go through those phases. That's perfectly fine. But then, like, this weekend, I had so much downtime. I was like, oh, everyone's gone or busy. Whoa. I'm to myself.
That sounds really nice, because we had a pool party last Saturday. We had a pool party the Saturday before that. We had a dinner this last Friday, which I did really enjoy the dinner. I like smaller get-togethers are fine, but
yeah,
And it's nothing, it's no fault of the people that I'm having dinner with, but at the end of the day, like, I still need downtime. And it's just, we've just been doing so much recently, and it's, I feel like it's getting hard to keep up with, emotionally, not even what mentally, because we're keeping up with it, but it's just like,
I get it. I definitely am noticing, as I age, how less interested I am in the constant socialization. Like, I'm almost, this is nice to say, I'm happier with myself than I used to be. I feel like I used to constantly have to be around people to run away from me. And so now, like, yeah, don't get me wrong, I enjoy being social with my friends, but I also really just like me time.
Yeah, which I get, because Lord knows I like some me time. This last weekend, I was supposed to go visit my grandma on Sunday and then go to this meet and greet for the gay men's course that Joe's in that evening. And I just, I woke up and I was like, no, I can't do anything. Like, I just can't. I'm done. Like, yeah. I'm fully out. And so I didn't do any of it.
Yep. I get it.
Because it was just, it's, so anyways, this Sunday, I'm going to have to hold that social obligation to see my grandma. And at least the Sunday evening event is with some friends. It'll be pretty low key. But, you know, I think it's just one of those things where there is, no matter what I do, there is always going to be some distinct difference between spending time with other people and spending time with myself.
Yeah. My partner moved down to Houston, and so I've been traveling down there more often. Well, like every other weekend. And it's so funny how I actually really, really love that 6.5 hour drive.
Oh, it's peaceful, isn't it?
It's just,
aside from like shitty other drivers, but like,
yeah, it's just so relaxing.
Yeah. It's so nice. I love being in the car. Sometimes it's been forever since I've done this, but I used to just get in the car and go. I just go somewhere. Like, you know, one time I had just realized I hadn't been to my great grandmother's grave in years and years and years. And I grew up with her. She passed away when I was like 22. So I'd known her really well my whole life. And,
yeah.
So I was like, well, I'm going to jump in my car and I'm going to go, because she's buried at Stroud, Oklahoma, which is a good solid hour from here. So I was like, it's 2 hours round trip. It's a chance to just sort of meditate, be in my own head about things. Not yeah. actual meditation, listeners. Like, I would not do a full-blown meditation while driving.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a good way for me to just get out and do stuff to where I could just think for a little while. Because I feel like when you're in your cars, you are allowed, like, you can allow yourself much easier to not be connected.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely got a lot of, it just, I don't know, a lot of nice, relaxing time to just chill. And it's so funny how people are like, I hate car rides. And I'm like, the more I do it, the more I'm like, oh, this is just nice.
Yeah, it's a really zen time.
I did read that ADHD people love it.
Yet another tick on the box of maybe ADHD.
Because I don't even remember the reason why, but they're like, it's because you just focus down a path and you just kind of zone into that and don't think about other stuff. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah, I love doing it because I'm like, I can listen to an audiobook. I can listen to, you know, a podcast, and it helps me to focus entirely on whatever it is I'm doing during that time. So, like, you know, especially when you're driving on one of these Oklahoma highways or Texas highways where they're just fucking straight for hours, you turn off of something from Dallas and it says continue straight for 372 miles.
Yeah.
And that's just, yeah, you just have 372 miles of whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So I get it. I understand. It's such a good time to sort of zone out. Get some time to yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I really enjoy it. It was funny. He's like, well, what's the drive like? And I'm like, honestly, I look forward to it.
Yeah. Aside from like having to pay for gas.
Yeah. I said the gas, you know, you stop at a gas pump and you're like, God damn it. But otherwise, huh?
I think it's a great way to like, one, if it were coming from my perspective, it's a great way to not have to make any weekend plans.
Because yeah.
That sounds awesome. It's the best reason ever. Nobody can tell you, like, what? You have to go visit your boyfriend? Like, everyone's just going to understand. It's like if you had kids, almost, where you say, ah, oh, now I got to take Timmy to the soccer game. And what are they going to say? Fuck your kid, which I might. But you get what I mean. Like, it's such a good reason to not have to do anything.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah, I'm so ready for it.
I'm looking into this. So during the month of August, they're closed, but there is a place here called Osage Sacred Forest that's in Sand Springs, which is right next to Tulsa. And I didn't know about it till today, but they do silent retreats. And so you can go and spend time there in meditation and go to these weekend workshops and like rent a cabin. You can also go to like, they have daily events, or you can just go to the grounds. It doesn't cost you anything to just go to the grounds.
Right.
Unless you want to give a donation. But like, they're doing one, I think the 21st of September. And I think I might do it where it's $30 and it's like 8:30 to 2:30, and you just go. The first part of the day is like morning meditations, then you do like working meditations, chanting mantras, relaxation. You have a lunch there that's already paid for, and then you do like a walking meditation in the woods.
Yeah,
and all of that just sounds so nice.
It's wild to me how recently I've been trying to take on this life of like healthier thoughts. And so, sorry, when you said this, it reminded me that recently when I get caught down anxiety paths, that's just overwhelming. I've started kind of doing this thing where I just put myself in a quiet space, and then I literally start imagining every inhale as clean, fresh thoughts and exhale as getting rid of dirty, busy thoughts.
It's a great like visualization exercise because it does help you to physically relax when you think those things.
And on top of that, you're breathing really well and getting fantastic oxygen. So,
yeah,
but it's been a really helpful visual because I'll just like open my eyes finally and be like, oh, okay, I feel better.
Yeah, I was in the throes of these panic attacks over and over, and just I was trying everything in my behavioral therapy tool belt, like my fucking Batman tool belt, to do, because I was doing like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exercise, which I can't remember specifically offhand. I was trying to do like just deep breathing, obviously, is always a go-to for when you're experiencing panic attacks and anxiety, because a lot of times it's just a matter of your body not being oxygenated enough.
Yep.
And then eventually, after a few hours of not being able to sleep, and by a few, I mean anywhere from 10 to about 2:30 in the morning, I remembered that I have a prescription for propranolol in case this exact thing happens, that I almost never have to use it because I've never had anything this bad happen to me since 2019.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, fuck, I've got a pill that's designed for this. And so I took that, and it took a while to kick in, but I got there.
Ugh.
I know. I tried the regular stuff first, but then I resorted to drugs.
Drugs. Prescriptions. Yeah, I've definitely been there. It's wild how you'll be going weeks perfectly fine, and then you'll have a night of the weirdest thing that just hits you, and then you're busy ruminating thoughts for hours on end.
It's not even weird, because we had been doing all of these social things, and at every single one of these social events, there is drinking. And so we just went from drinking to drinking to drinking to drinking to drinking. And then on yesterday, it rolled around, and I was like, I do not want to like drink tonight. It's been crazy. We record. Sometimes we drink when we record. Sometimes we don't. So it's like, I'm just not going to. And so my suspicion is that it was like alcohol withdrawal, because I had just been drinking heavily, and that's happened to me before, where like, especially if I day drink, I try not to make a habit of that. And I've been doing it the last couple of weekends because we've been at these pool parties.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody's doing there. So I've got to get better at redefining how I approach these events, because I can't do that to myself.
Yeah.
Because every time I day drink, it turns into that.
Yeah.
And it just, I guess this time it took a couple of days to kick out.
Hmm. That's pretty wild.
I'm sorry. Joe's home.
Sounds like someone's happy that Joe's home.
Yeah. He likes to alert everyone when other people are approaching usually. So. Anyways, back to what we were talking about. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I already have anxiety, and that's just a really great way to crank it up to 11.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm almost sick to the stomach at the thought of having that kind of anxiety, because I just hate when I'm running on anxiety.
Having general anxiety is something I'm pretty used to. So I understand a lot of times how I react to things is colored by that, but it's the panic attack. And usually I can get through a panic attack. If I'm just having a single panic attack, I recognize that I know exactly what it is. But since this kept happening, and it would tone down and then like crank its way back up all like over and over in these waves. And then somebody had to go and put the word heart attacks.
Sorry.
When we were recording the podcast last night, when I'm having a panic attack. So it piles on, and it just loops in my head in this catastrophizing process. And then it just lasted so long. And I just kept thinking like, the fuck, like Joe's asleep next to me. I don't want to wake him up, but I'm sitting here going through it. And like, what if I die? And of course, if you've ever had a full blown panic attack, you fully well understand that's what it feels like. It feels like you're going to die. You just feel that dread sense of like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You may not have a good reason for it. Last night, it was all heart attack nonstop. Thank you.
Sorry. Sometimes my little small amount of medical training I have just blurts out, and I was like, well, symptoms, but I doubt that's it.
Yeah. I am lucky in the sense of like, the only person in our family who has actual heart issues is actually my dad, but it's because and when I say like I don't day drink, like my dad is a very heavy drinker and has been since I was a young child, so we're going on 40 years right now, and he's a heavy smoker as well, and he works probably 60 hours a week, and his job keeps him on his feet and moving all the time, so like, he's not doing himself any favors.
Yeah.
And so he ended up having a heart attack, and it just surprised absolutely nobody.
Yeah, for my family, it's like no surprise at all. They're like, oh, if you don't have one, that's shocking.
See, my family is very different. They all live to be old as hell.
Oh, man. Not mine. Well, not the men in mine.
Oh, so the men and the women in mine. My dad's grandmother passed away at the age of 94. In her bed at her own home. She lived alone till the day she died.
Yeah.
My grandfather on that side, his dad died at 92. Grandmother passed away at 89. And yeah, I think it's like late 80s, early 90s across the board for both my dad's and mom's side of the family.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Weirdly healthy people. Like even my dad, having had his heart attack and not changing anything at all about the way he lives. Yeah, no changes whatsoever. Like, he'll
guess
go
I'll keep eating this butter.
Be like, I can't believe you're not closer to death. And I'm just like, well, I mean, he'll get there. Don't worry. He's pushing himself. He's trying real hard.
Don't you worry.
Yeah. So I, you know, I, and also I guess that probably is what worries me about like drinking too much is, you know, becoming my father.
Also, I just happened to say on the news this morning that a new study's come out, but to be fair, there's always a new study coming out that changes things. But they said that any drinking in general is not healthy for you.
Oh, yeah, it's not good for you whatsoever. Like, there's no health benefits you can't get from anywhere else.
Yeah, they're just...
Only... Sorry, go ahead.
No, no, I'm sorry. I'm yawning because I'm dreading the idea that I now have to go mow after this. But I was going to do it this weekend, but it kept raining on me. Anyways,
I was gonna say you were bored with this conversation.
Yeah, you're really boring. So, anyways, yeah, no, I'm kidding. Shit, where was I going with that?
New study about
New study
is not good for you.
Yeah, and they're like, so the belief of wine a day, like a glass a day or something, or a couple days a week, even that, they're just like it increases. Oh, what they say? They said that lower income people are really prone to it. And I was like, I'm assuming that means that they just like drink a lot of cheap beer.
I often like wonder and suspect if like higher end liquors and wines are just somehow not as bad for you. But, you know, I think that also tends to be anything with rich people where like they can afford nicer food. So like they're just going to be healthier generally.
Yeah, like avocado toast.
Well, if you just stop eating avocado toast, you'd be rich too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's definitely something that keeps popping back up. And a lot of times if you follow the bunny trail of like the, hey, a glass of red wine every day is good for you, it leads back to the wine industry.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we sponsored this.
Yeah.
And it's not untrue. There are health benefits to it, but not anything more than you'd get from eating a handful of blueberries.
Yeah.
So, and actually the blueberries would be better for you in the long run.
I know. I was like, the blueberries actually way better off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that also makes it worse when I do drink is like, I know a lot of the negative parts about drinking. I understand it really well. And I'm just like, yeah, I know this is going to block like my iron consumption. I know it's going to block my body from like taking in vitamin D. I know it's going to stop my liver from actually processing anything else until it processes this alcohol first, which like increases the fat content of my body. And like, I understand it intimately and I still do it.
Well, it's so funny. I kind of regret it because this weekend I was like, oh, well, I'm just, you know, I'm going to relax. And I didn't drink like heavy or anything. I even kept it just to the seltzers. But I was drinking those and Monday rolled around and I had several doctor's appointments and one of them, they had to pull lab work. And I don't know why I remembered that appointment was there fully. I'd never forgot about it, but I just blanked on the fact that they had to pull blood work. And so all my blood work was off. Not all of it, but a lot of things. They, yeah. She was like, I want you to do this again in a week. So I have to go get blood again so she can make sure that my kidney numbers are down.
Oh, your kidney function was high. Or
and that also,
like enzymes.
Yeah. And that also something else was high saying that I'm dehydrated. And I was like, my pee's normal color. It's fine. But I felt really kind of like stupid. And also I felt a little like, so this was my oncologist. And one of the things that oncologists always ask for is if you're depressed or showing signs of depression or anything. And so if my kidney numbers have ever been up, which they've never been high enough to be concerned about, I think it triggers them to be like, hey, is there an issue? And so I'm like, damn it. I just triggered that just being dumb and forgetful.
So I did my last doctor's appointment where I had like a full blown panic attack the night before, because I was concerned about the blood draw and it came out fine. Like everything's fine except for my cholesterol was a little high.
Yeah.
So now I'm on a very low dose of a statin drug to help decrease that.
Welcome.
I know.
To that club.
I know. But all that is to say, like, I spent like a whole 48 to 78 hours or 72 hours just stressing about it, and I got all my results back and they were fine, which I should have suspected anyways.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I just walked into that appointment like, meh, and then like, go up to the lab. And I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh shit.
Oh no.
I was like, I was drinking Sunny D seltzers like last night.
You know, it's funny, Sunny D seltzers of all things.
I had to go get them and try them. And I was just like,
oh yeah.
Oh my God. They're so overpriced, but they're delicious.
Yeah, they're tasty. They taste like vodka Sunny D.
Yeah. I'm not going to keep those in stock, but I got my share, drank them, had fun, played Red Dead Redemption just to chillax and give myself me this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, there's I can't remember what it was I was listening to. I think it was a podcast of some sort, but a guy was talking about like going to the ER because he had gotten in some fist fight after getting heavily trashed in a bar, and like the ER knew him. He had been in there multiple times because of different things related to drinking. And then like they took his blood and the doctor came out there and was like, you have the content of 27 drinks worth of alcohol in your blood currently. And he was like, that can't be right. I only had 24. I was like, what?
Kudos on keeping track.
Yeah, I know. At least you knew the math. But anyways, that's what that reminds me of now.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. Yeah, hopefully my blood work goes back to normal after that. That's kind of like weighing on me just a tiny bit, because I'm like, God, I hope nothing's wrong, because I think one number that we didn't want up was up more than usual, but I'm blaming it on like my body being off. And so I'm like, I really hope that we're right about that.
Yeah. The thing I want to make sure I look at again, because I have to go back again in less than 3 months, is my blood pressure. Because I'm already on blood pressure meds, and it just runs just a little high still.
Yeah.
And I know it's because I have anxiety. Like, that just keeps it, like, up there.
And if my anxiety is up, if I'm stressed or very excited about something, my blood pressure reads awful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the first thing I did last night before I took that propranolol at 2:30 a.m. was I broke out my blood pressure cuff.
Yeah,
sure. It was 160/109. I was like, oh yeah, I need to take one.
Yeah. Well, and because I just changed mental health meds, I was like, yeah, I'll check my blood pressure. I still keep forgetting to. But then I went to the doctor and it was high, and I'm like, but it's because I've just been on this chaotic mind train lately. And so she's like, we're going to do it again, but I need you to like relax. So I had to sit there and we started having like a calming conversation, laid my feet flat and just like had my arm out straight and was kind of doing that focus on my in and out breath. Yeah. And my low number went right back down to normal. And I was like,
what's funny is like your diastolic number, the lower number.
Yeah.
It was completely fine when he checked it at the doctor's office. It was like it was like slightly under normal range.
Yeah.
But my top number was 160, and he was like, that's really high. And I was like, I have been stressed out about coming to see you. And that's all I've been thinking about for the past 48 hours. So
yeah,
I'm not surprised by this.
Yeah. Mine was weird. It was like 160/104 or something. And she's like, I don't like that. And I said, I don't either. And so we did it. And then it dropped down to like 132/81. I was like, I'll take it.
A little better. Yeah.
I'm like, put that in the system.
Put that one down. Mark that one. Use those results.
And she's like, well, this is the one we're marking because this is the this is the one we're claiming is accurate. And I was like, I agree. It is a more accurate. I breathed. It's just, isn't it wild how our body has so much impact, or it's impacted so much by just our thought process?
It's so crazy how stress and anxiety will just absolutely wreck your body.
I'm so glad that I've taken steps in my life to try to drastically reduce my stress levels, because I used to just run on high stress on a regular basis. And I've been like, you can't do that. That is probably what gave you cancer. You're killing yourself. Just calm it the hell down.
Yep. Hardening your arteries and whew, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I try to give myself calming time during the day, but here lately we've been going so much. So I don't know, maybe what I experienced last night was just my body being like, hey, what the fuck is your fucking problem, man? You've done all this shit. Now you've got like four more plans this week.
I also love how you can have a day of just like, and then the next day, if you have a good night's sleep, you're just like, I don't know what I was so worked up about yesterday.
That's the other thing is yesterday morning, I woke up at 3 a.m. and could not get back to sleep.
Ugh.
And so not only did I miss like 3 hours of sleep that night, I got 2 hours of sleep last night. And yeah, so I'm just, at some point my body is going to give up and have to actually rest and sleep. And so like all last night I was fighting it mentally. I was like, I know you're high key right now, but you can't keep this up, buddy. You can't keep it up. You're going to have to stop being like,
you're going to tire yourself out. That's what's going to happen. But it always happens at a really inconvenient time. But
I know 5 a.m. as it were for 2 hours.
I guess I'll wake up in a minute.
I know. I saw my boss about it today. He's like, oh, so you didn't get any sleep. You got a nap. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. But I'm here.
That's dedication.
It's my coworker's out, so I can't miss work. Otherwise, things will not get done.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. So unless it's like really, I can't be there.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm just going to go in tired, I'm going to go in tired.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.